Our scripture reading is taken from Deuteronomy, and I'll be reading from chapter 11, verses 13 to 23. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care, lest your hearts be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will kindle against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach your to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all these commandments that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. This is the word of God. We are taking a break from our Joshua series to cover a topic related to family and children. Because it's Children's Day, one of our pillars of the church is building strong marriages and families. And one of the ways that we do that is to preach on special occasions like this, you know, Mother's Day sermon, Father's Day, Youth Sunday, and of course today, Children's Day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are concerned for families and for children. Your heartbeat is for our growth spiritually. Teach us, Lord, to apply the lessons that we learn, Lord, that we are going to learn from your word. May your spirit prepare our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A story was told about a boy who showed his father his test result. The child scored 60 marks, and so he brought the test paper and asked his father, "Father, I scored 60 marks. Can you please sign on the test paper?" The father scolded him. "What kind of result is this that you show me?" The boy was disappointed, and so he worked harder for the next test. And this time, he came back with 80%, 80 marks. He felt so happy that he went to his father, thinking that his father would praise him. The father looked at him and asked, "What happened to the other 20%? Did you eat it?" Poor boy turned away. He worked even harder. And this time, he came back with 95% in his test. And so he came to his father thinking that his father must be very happy with him. But his father put on his usual frown and asked, "Did anyone score higher than you?" Now, a key concern about for a number of us parents is our children's academic result and their progress. It doesn't help that the PSLE math paper a few days ago was very tough. And many parents were upset, Some even complain online, right up to the minister also. As parents, we are very anxious about our children's academic progress. We spend a lot of time, money to invest, tuition center, enrichment, energy. We invest in our children. Some even lose sleep over their results. But parents, are we equally concerned about their spiritual growth, if not more concerned? Are we concerned about their character? What is the first thing we ask our children when they come home? Now, I noticed that one of the things I ask my children, the first thing I ask is, have you completed your homework or not? You know, if knowing God is a priority, and we all agree, that's important and it's a priority, why isn't our question, have you read your Bible today? Have you prayed to the Lord? Have you asked Him to help you? Some time ago, one of my children brought back her report card, and the first thing that caught my eyes was, wow, the result is not up to my standard. So I chided her, you know, I don't think you have put it in enough effort. But as I examined further, the teacher wrote, excellent for conduct. I never had excellent in my school life for conduct. Good is already very good already. So I was thinking, why didn't I celebrate the child's character? Why is it the first thing I see is the digits? I don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that results are not important. But I'm asking us to reflect. Are we also concerned about the child's spiritual growth, the transformation in her character, and to celebrate this as well? Now, our passage today tells us that God's purpose for families is to follow Him faithfully. And God is concerned about the spiritual growth of our families. Now, why does God want families to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ? Why is this so important? The first reason the passage highlights is that God wants to bless families with His goodness as they follow Him. Now, earlier in Deuteronomy, in this chapter, Moses recounts all the goodness that the Lord has done. The passage I read at the Holy Communion, how God, in His mighty hand, outstretched arm, saved the people of Israel miraculously. They have experienced His goodness. They see how God will go all out to save them. The 12 plagues, the Red Sea, all of these they have seen. Why does God do this? He does it because He loves them. He does it because He wants to bless them. And then in verses 13 to 15, God promised to bless them further if they continue to follow Him, to obey Him. You know, it says here, I will give you rain for the land, your wine, your oil, you shall eat and be full. What this image tells us is they are a symbol of richness, prosperity. God wants to bless, God wants to give as the people of God follow them. And so God tells His people to follow Him because He wants to bless us. He wants to bless families as we walk faithfully with Him. And we learn that also in our Joshua's study, you know, the CGs, as you have done, Joshua chapter 1, your first lesson. Why did God tell Joshua to obey and to do all His command? He wants to bless Joshua. God told Joshua, as you do this, your way will be prosperous. I will give you good success. And that is the heart and intent of why God wants us to follow Him faithfully. Families, God wants to bless you. That is His intent. Now, I believe if we look back at our lives, there are many things that we could testify of God's goodness and His providence in our life. I believe the Lord has blessed you with all your needs. The Lord has blessed you, perhaps some of you in your career, materially, you have gained. The Lord has been with us in difficult times. He has blessed us with His presence. And all of us have been blessed in knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. That's not now and the here and now, but life eternal. We have eternal life with God. We have peace, reconciliation, hope beyond this world. And God wants us to continue to follow Him faithfully so that we can enjoy His blessings, His providence, His protection, His life. And that's something we see in Deuteronomy chapter 11. God asks the whole nation to walk faithfully with Him so that He will continue to bless them. Now, there's a second reason why God wants families, His people to follow Him, and that is because He does not want us to be deceived and fall into the trap of idolatry. God knows that if we don't follow Him, we will surely follow something else. That is in our human nature. And unfortunately, we see that in Israel's history. They turn away from God and worship the idols in their environment. The people try to find pleasure, they try to find security, they try to find hope in man-made images and practices. And they traded their identity as God's holy people with immorality in their environment. And then they became what they worship, a self-centered and immoral people. So when families turn away from God, the nation crumbles. Brothers and sisters, we may not be worshiping idols of stones or woods today, but there are many idols around us that could turn us away from God. And these idols are so subtle that they have become perhaps a part of our lives. And some of us love and cherish these idols that we would rather spend time with them than cultivate our devotion with the Lord. And if you're not careful, these idols can rob away our time, our talents, and our energy that God has blessed us with. It's very hard to give a name to these idols. There are many, but of the same form. And they can be in our pockets today. One country made a very bold move to curb this idol. It's in our papers last week, and it caught my attention. The article reads, 3 hours a week, playtime is over for China's video gamers. China implemented a rule to forbid under 18 from playing video games for more than 3 hours a week. And the crackdown was felt worldwide because when they made that move, billions of money. The gaming industry in China alone is worth $45 billion. Now, why did this superpower make such a drastic move? They decided to pull the plug on a growing addiction. China realized that they are losing the next generation to what they call spiritual opium. It's a very strong word, spiritual opium, because if you know the history of China, they were controlled by the opium war. The colonial powers controlled them with opium addiction. And China do not want to see this happening again, especially with their next generation. And one of their spokesmen says this, Teenagers are the future of our motherland. It is of national interest to protect the physical and mental health of our youths who is consumed by this opium. China do not want to lose the next generation, their talent, their energy, to this addiction. But this is just one form of an idol that can rob away our devotion, our time away from the Lord. There are also many variants of idols around us. It has many cousins. There's a very thought-provoking show called The Social Dilemma. I encourage you to watch it. And this show, it interviews designers and social media developers. And these experts used to be the people or part of the team that came up with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and what have you. And they revealed this in the show. They revealed that how technology that was meant to connect us was also designed to control, to manipulate, to divide, to polarize, and eventually make money out of it. And it just takes a handful of tech designers to control how billions of people think, act, and live their lives. And one of them described it's like putting a spell over us. At the end of the day, the end goal is to control the users or to influence their thoughts and their behaviors. Our brothers and sisters, the idols around us are many and are different forms. They are very much alive and powerful. They can influence us more than we can imagine. But the idea is not eliminate. They do have their good purpose in some of these, but we need to be firm to regulate it, that they don't turn us away from being the person that God wants us to be. If we don't follow God faithfully, we will follow something. Our time, our energy will be given to something. And that will shape our identity, that will shape our lives. And parents, if we do not take up this role to disciple our children, then something else will. Something else will influence them. Something else will inform their behavior. And that is why the Lord tells the people then and us, take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside. We heard that God wants to bless families. God wants families to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We also hear that why God wants us to follow him faithfully so that we don't fall into the trap of idolatry. Now, how can we follow the Lord and build our family, our family's faith? Now, if you look into these verses, now we often focus on verse 19. Verse 19 says, children ministry, teachers, parents, we know this. Verse 19, you shall teach your children, talk to them when they are sitting, when they are walking, and when they are lying down. But what is very significant is the verse before verse 19. And the verse before verse 19, verse 18, God has these instructions. And he says, you shall therefore lay these words of mine in my heart, in my soul. You bind them in your heart, your hand. Now, when God says, verse 19, when he was proclaiming to these people, Moses was proclaiming, who is verse 18 referring to? It is referring to the nation, the people of God, the adults. And before we go to the children, God tells the adults, you shall therefore lay these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Keep it to memory. Let it be part of your life. And we see God's method to disciple families. It starts with the adults, the parents. We are to build our faith first before we build our children. Now, a very devoted Jew would remember this command by through a religious symbol called the tefillin, as you can see in this picture, and they literally tie it around their head, their hands, and that is to remember what is said in this commandment. It is a small leather box, and inside of it control scrolls of verses, Deuteronomy 11, Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, and reminds them that God has brought them out of Egypt, and they are to keep God's commandment close to their heart. And the men would tie it around the frontlet of their eyes, their arms. It's very interesting. I read one interpretation why they tie it around these areas. Of course, it's said in the commandment, but this represents the major organs of the body. And to tie the word of God around the major organs of the body is to say the word of God has to be part, very much part of your life. Brothers and sisters, what does it mean? What does it look like to tie the word of God around our lives? There are many ways we can do that. It certainly includes our daily devotion, our daily intake of the Word of God. I want to encourage you to listen to the sermon differently. Don't just listen for information. Listen by asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to apply from your Word today? Well, every Sunday, our youth ministry has an after-sermon talk over Zoom. I'm very impressed by some of the youth sharing as I hear from different people what they learn from the Joshua series. I think that's wonderful. And I hope that the youths, you can also share your articles as you write to the next AMKPC Live to encourage all of us. When we share and learn what we learn about the Word of God, it reverberates in our lives. We encourage others. I used to wake up each morning, the first thing I do, take my handphone and look at the news or the messages. But after a while, I find this is a little bit meaningless. And I downloaded the Daily Bread app, and I think it's a wonderful app, you know, that starts your day with the Word of God and reach you and meditate as you spend the day. I also have a WhatsApp group that we share our devotion every few days. We take turns to share. Together with two brothers, we embark on this discipleship mentoring journey through a book called Roots and Wings. Also meet up the deacons once every 6 weeks or so as we read a book together on discipleship. Now, I asked one of the brothers, you know, we were doing Roots and Wings, the three of us, is this taking too much of your time? And he replied, he says that, you know, if I'm not doing this, I'll be doing something else with my evening. I'd rather be doing this because it's more meaningful to spend our time together. And the good thing about this meetup is that we don't just learn the Word of God. We also build our relationship, our fellowship, get in touch with one another's life. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that our lives now all have to be, everything is about the Word of God. I certainly still have time to watch Korean drama with my family. But this is not the only thing. You manage your time, you regulate it. We are starting 2 Timothy in November, and this is one avenue that we can also grow in our knowledge of God's Word. So, brothers and sisters, there are many ways that we can grow in our understanding of God's Word and how to live faithfully as the people of God. Don't let this pandemic make us complacent over our spiritual growth. Let's take charge of our spiritual growth. It's very significant that God placed the command for the adults first, then he moves on to the children. And his method of teaching the children is through the family. The family will be that discipleship avenue for children. And this is what it says in verse 19. Now, then you shall teach your children. And if you look into these verses, we notice that God's method of teaching children the faith and to disciple them is in the context of a family. It is not so much send your children to a tuition center, send your children to Sunday school, or send your children to youth ministry. Those are important. But primarily, the family is where discipleship happens. And look at what is God's method here. When you are sitting, when you are walking, when you lie down. Now, these are daily habits and activities in a family. They are very informal. They are not structured like classroom setting. As part of your daily life, teach your children the faith. It may be having conversations with them at home about God. The pandemic has shown us why families are important to disciple children, because now we cannot even send our children to Sunday school. Although our children ministry teachers try very hard to do that through Zoom, but we know that there are limitations. So the family is the context to disciple children. And parents, we need to reclaim these responsibilities. It can be through conversations with your children about God. There is one question in our Bible study material called Family Moments, and that's for families to discuss. You know, over your dinner table on a Sunday, talk to your children about the sermon. What is something you learned? You can use the material, the question, to also discuss with your children. Nurturing faith in the family can be also to pray together. Pray with your children when they are sick. Pray with your children when they are taking exams. And children, pray with your parents too. They are also going through a lot of things. Ask them. You know, children, ask your parents, what is one thing I can pray for you? This one simple question will lift up your parents' day and week. You know, youths in particular, I want to encourage you to encourage your parents' spiritual growth. Sometimes the parents wants to build the faith and to initiate something, but sometimes they are also discouraged by the response. So encourage your parents, support them. Our children ministry is having a talk on by Faith at Home, a workshop, and this talk is basically about how to disciple children at home, how to do a simple family devotion. This talk is for parents and teachers right up to those who are teaching P2. So I believe that the parents in this age, your children's age group, you have received the link. These are ways that we can grow as we equip ourselves. God's method to disciple children is actually through the family, through the daily activities as part of your life. And it doesn't require great commitment, but it requires some will to say, you know, the evenings, even though we are tired, you know, don't just sink down to the sofa and watch TV, but spend some time with your family. It means to create space for family conversations to happen. Now, when families make the commitment to follow God faithfully, there is a promise to claim. And in verses 18 to 19, it says that the days, your days and the days of your children will be multiplied. And you will dispose nations greater and mightier than you. God promised to bless families with abundance and life. And in these verses, God promised the families, the nation, that God will help them through the obstacles that they face. And this promise we can claim also for our families. We don't fight a literal war, but there are problems in the family. There are crises, there are struggles that we go through. And this verse, God promised to help us overcome the oppositions and the obstacles as we follow Him faithfully. You know, parents, we cannot always be with our children. Sometimes they have to manage the situation that they are in. But the investment that we put in when we impart the Word of God as they grow up, that will guide them to make correct decisions. And we can trust that the Lord will protect and help our children in those situations. I want to end with these stories, and good stories are worth retelling. This story is called The Silver Chair. Now, in this story, Aslan, the king of Narnia, sent two children and a creature by the name of Pedalgum to find a lost prince called Rillian. And after a risky and challenging journey, they finally located the prince. And they discovered that the prince was actually trapped and enchanted by a witch in the underworld. The witch has put a spell over the prince, thinking that the world, the underworld, is actually his kingdom. Now, Pedalgum and the children managed to wake the prince up from the spell, and they were escaping. And as they were escaping, the witch caught hold of them and began to put a spell over them. She spoke to them in a lovely voice. She burned incense that made them drowsy. And she strummed a slow and soft music. And unknowingly, the children came under her spell. And the witch began to ask, "Is what you believe true about Aslan and his kingdom?" And the children soon doubted that there was such a king and there was such a kingdom. And they begin to believe that the witch underworld is the true kingdom. And very quickly, the witch began to erase their memories of the real kingdom that they belong to. And the children forget about their mission, that they were sent to save the lost. The enchantment was about to complete. But at that final moment, Pedalgum gathered all his strength, walked to a nearby fire, and put his feet on the fire. And the smell of his burning feet began to erase the aroma. The witch screamed, and her voice, a charming voice, was gone. The music stopped, and everybody's brain became clearer. And Pedalgum declared, "I am on Aslan's side, and I will live like a Narnian." Brothers and sisters, there are many idols that will compete with our time, our energy. It will influence our mind, and it will seek to inform our behavior. But like Pedalgum, we need to put our feet down, and will you respond to say, "I am on Jesus' side, and as for me and my family, we will follow him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with families. We thank you that you want to bless families as we follow you faithfully. So, Father, I just pray that for each and every family, as we celebrate Children's Day, to remember that your key concern, your key priority, is the spiritual growth of our children. And help us, Lord, as a family, each of our families, to take that seriously, Lord, to put in the steps, Lord, to grow our family and to nurture them to follow you, that we may enjoy your blessings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.